It's 8 p.m. here in New York, midnight GMT, and 5:30 a.m. in Colombo. Hello, I'm Victoria Craig, and this is Business Matters from the BBC World Service. A preliminary report casts the spotlight on the pilots in last month's Air India crash.
Now, to be clear, it was certainly a report that has been eagerly anticipated. This report was actually released at 2 a.m. local time.
Also this hour, how effective was the warning system in Texas after last week's deadly floods? We're live with our guests in Austin and Colombo. And could underused office space offer a solution to cities struggling to offer enough housing?
They're really well located. They're close to Grand Central. So to make Midtown more mixed use, that kind of excites us.
That's Business Matters here on the BBC. But first, the latest world news.
BBC News with Sue Montgomery. A preliminary report into last month's plane crash in the Indian city of Ahmedabad has focused on the actions of the pilots in the seconds before the accident. Investigators said data from the Air India jet showed the fuel control switches were moved to the cut-off position shortly after takeoff. This caused both engines to lose thrust. Here's Theo Leggett.
What isn't clear is why the switches were moved. It could have been a simple mistake, though the switches themselves are designed in a way that's meant to prevent them being accidentally knocked out of position. There's no mention of a technical problem which could have distracted the pilots and prompted an error. One of the crew did ask the other why he'd moved the switches, but was told this hadn't happened. The report does note that problems with locking mechanisms on fuel control switches have been found on some Boeing aircraft in the past. It doesn't draw any firm conclusions and the investigation is ongoing, but experts have suggested premeditated action is also a possibility.
Palestinian officials have told the BBC that Gaza ceasefire negotiations between Hamas and Israel are on the verge of collapse. The two sides have been holding indirect talks in Qatar. One senior Palestinian official said Israel had stalled the process by sending a delegation with no real authority to make decisions. He also said the Israelis had proposed creating buffer zones that would take over large parts of Gaza. On Thursday, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he hoped a 60-day truce could be agreed within days. The US Embassy in Jerusalem has condemned recent violence by Israeli settlers against a town in the occupied West Bank. The population of the Christian town of Taibe includes hundreds of Palestinian Americans. President Trump has dismissed a question about the effectiveness of flood alert warnings in Texas as he visited communities devastated by the rapid rise of the Guadalupe River a week ago. Mr. Trump said only an evil person would ask a question like that, but the governor of Texas said the authorities needed to devise a response to prevent similar tragedies. At least 120 people died. Nomia Iqbal is in Texas.
Donald and Melania Trump surveyed the devastation, meeting first responders and local officials against the backdrop of a Kerrville fire engine and a pile of fallen trees. They also talked to survivors behind closed doors, away from the cameras. But there were tough questions for the president, including could more have been done to save people with a better warning system? He lashed out. He has, however, remained conspicuously quiet about constant promises to get rid of the federal agency in charge of disaster relief. There are now reports the Trump administration has done a U-turn in abolishing FEMA.
BBC News. An appeals court in the United States has scrapped the plea deal that spared the mastermind of the September the 11th attacks the death penalty. The agreement with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed had sparked anger among relatives of victims of the 2001 attacks, and the then Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin moved to cancel it last year. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and two other defendants are still being held at Guantanamo Bay, 24 years after the attacks. The United States has for the first time imposed sanctions on the president of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel. He'll no longer be able to enter the US. The announcement came on the fourth anniversary of protests against the authoritarian regime in the island, triggered by a shortage of food and medicine. A notorious Ecuadorian drug lord has accepted a court request that he be extradited to the US to face drug and gun charges. Adolfo Macias is serving a lengthy jail sentence in his home country for numerous crimes carried out by his Los Choneros gang, as Tom Bailey reports.
Known to many by his alias Fito, Adolfo Macias is a feared and powerful figure in Ecuador's criminal underworld, responsible for numerous acts of gruesome violence. Last year, he made headlines after breaking out of jail, sparking a huge manhunt that lasted over a year before finally being recaptured last month. US prosecutors want him to face several charges in a federal court in New York, including for allegedly smuggling drugs and weapons between Ecuador and the US.
The Belgian authorities have repatriated a 3,000-year-old sarcophagus to Egypt after a 10-year legal process. The public prosecutor's office said the wooden coffin, shaped to fit the mummified male body once placed inside it, bears hieroglyphics indicating the occupant was transformed into Osiris, god of the underworld.